Today's first scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The second scripture comes from John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you just love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, today we're talking about relationships on this second Sunday of our stewardship campaign, which we're really renaming a generosity campaign. Stewardship has just such a negative connotation to it because it always, you know, conjures up images of money and giving and all that, which it does. But we're looking at it in terms of generosity this year, and extravagant generosity at that. And we're also tagging on to the theme, a matter of the heart. As you can see, the heart of giving, it's a matter of the heart. And today we're focusing on relationships. As I thought about that this week, I thought about how I used to listen to a lot of country music. How many of you like country and western music here? Oh, yeah. We used to listen to it a lot, and don't listen to it so much anymore. But it seemed like all the country and western songs that I heard had to do with somebody done somebody wrong. You know what I mean? It usually was about cheating or drinking or divorce or somebody's ran out on somebody, or you know what I'm talking about, or else it had something to do with a truck, a pickup truck or a train in it. You know, that's how you can tell a good country song. It's got to have something about a truck or a train or, somebody getting shot or somebody's dog leaving them or whatever. You know the old joke, don't you? You know the old joke that what happens when you play a country song backwards? You get your dog back, you get your pickup back, you get your house back, and your wife comes back. So, that's just an old joke. Why are these songs so popular? Because they speak to certain aspects of our culture today from a very cynical and pessimistic and negative perspective. When you stop and think about all those things, that somebody doing somebody's wrong stuff, it has to do with relationships. Because our culture is somewhat negative and cynical. Even churches tend to be a little negative and cynical sometimes, especially when it comes to talking about money. It has a negative connotation. It speaks to the difficulties we have in our relationships, these country songs. Not all of them are bad, don't get me wrong. I still love, to listen to them, but a lot of them have to do with broken relationships and difficulties we have as human beings with relationships. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about us to tells us in Philippians chapter 4, think on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and praiseworthy, and not so much on the negative stuff or being cynical or pessimistic. Last Sunday, we began our stewardship campaign with a look at the programs that our church sponsors, that you help sponsor through your giving. The giving that you do every week goes towards. And we saw that wonderful video 2 weeks ago of the wonderful ministries that are happening here at Bethel Church, and so many more that were not in the video. This week, we're looking at relationships, and the most important relationships of all. This week, I asked a question of you, the congregation, and I really wish more of you would respond. I usually get the responses from the same 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 people. If you're not on my email blast, please email me. My email address is in the bulletin. Let me know so that you can respond to these questions. I really want to know what you think and what you have to say about these things. But the question this week was, who has been a spiritual guide for you in your walk of faith? Who do you love? Who has brought you through Bethel Church closer to the Lord? And I got some wonderful, wonderful answers from two or three people. One person talked about her Bible study teacher. That one person who led her closer to the Lord by being in Bible study, never been in a Bible study before, wasn't that knowledgeable about the Bible. Another person said Barbara Shelton and Sandy Keck. came to the top of their list. Both were instrumental in inviting me to my first small group Bible study, which sent me on a quest to go deeper into the study of God's Word. And then one person gave me a whole list of folks. Now, some of you long-timers here at Bethel are going to remember some of these names, but these were giants here at Bethel Church. Jack and Marion Bateman. You all remember the Batemans for their volunteer work and their many long hours working in that kitchen right over there. I see a lot of heads nodding. Minna Lodge for starting the historical room, collected clothing, distributed to those in need. Helen Quillen, hard worker at the antique show and working as a volunteer in Sunday school. Edson Lodge, for his work in the community, church finances and business matters, a true leader of Bethel, he says. Bill Hayes, 30-plus years as choir director. Robert Kennedy, active on the trustees, involved with the construction of this building right here in 1956. Tom Coates and Kathy, who are still living, by the way, longtime church secretary. Tom was a liturgist, sang in the choir, bell choir, chancel choir, Sunday school, lay speaker. Betsy Monroe started the Giving Tree, Ruth Circle, Sunday school teacher, egg sales, Easter egg sales, murals on the walls. If you've ever been downstairs in the preschool, Sunday school area, all those murals were drawn and painted, I understand, by Betsy Monroe. I'm sure she had some help, but I think she's primarily responsible for it. Pastor Dick Varell was mentioned. He started a young adult group that undertook many financial projects that were needed to be done when no money was available in the budget. And, of course, this list would not be complete without Harry Moore's name on it, who began Boy Scout Troop number 1 here at Bethel Church in Lewis. All of these are people that have touched the lives of other people here at Bethel Church who have gone on before us, most of them, and are now part of that great cloud of witnesses, now praising and rejoicing and serving God in heaven. But we're talking about relationships today, and that's what this is about, this message is about today, is that loving relationships are the foundation of our Christian faith. And the scriptures that Ray read for us just a few minutes ago bear that out. The most important relationship is that with Almighty God. I like to refer to it as our vertical relationship, the one that connects us with heaven, our relationship with God. The first and most important commandment in the Shema of the Torah, that is the first part of the Torah, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give today are to be on your hearts." We sang about, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's where that comes from. Loving relationship with God. That relationship has to be primary in our lives for any of the other relationships to mean anything at all. And that leads to the second greatest commandment. And that when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He quoted the Shema and these very words from Deuteronomy. But then he says the second is like it. And he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The primary relationship is vertical. The secondary relationship is horizontal. When you put those two lines together, what do you form? A cross. When you see the sign of the cross, think about your relationship with God as primary and your relationship with your brothers and sisters, for all other human beings, as important as your relationship with God. Because unless this relationship is right, none of these other relationships can really survive. We have to be right with God first in order to love one another. Because God is the source of love. God is love. So you're probably saying, well, what in the world does this have to do with stewardship? What does it have to do with giving? What does it have to do with generosity? Well, I firmly believe that because as Christians, generosity is at the core of who we are, a fundamental part of who we are, being generous, when we realize how generous God has been to us. When you stop and think how God has blessed you, how God has just showered you with blessings upon blessings, then we realize, wait a minute, I have really, truly been blessed. How can I be a blessing to others? And thinking about those who have gone on before us, I read in the devotional this week these words. I want you to listen very carefully and picture in your mind these things that I'm going to talk about that we had nothing to do with. The writer says, every sanctuary and chapel in which we have worshiped, and we could add to that every fellowship hall, every church organ that has lifted our spirits, every pew where we have sat, every communion rail where we have knelt, every hymnal from which we have sung, every praise band that has touched our hearts, every Sunday school class or Bible study class where we have gathered with our friends, every church kitchen that has prepared our meals, every church van that has taken us to camp, every church camp, that cabin where we have slept, all of these are fruit of someone else's extravagant generosity. Think about that. All the things that we enjoy here at Bethel Church are because some other folks, some of them not even with us anymore and haven't been with us for decades, made it possible for us to sit in this building, to enjoy these cushy chairs, to enjoy a sanctuary that is probably one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in the Delmarva Conference, or the Peninsula Delaware Conference. I'm a little biased there. But it's because of these things, these people, I should say, and their extravagant generosity that we are able to enjoy them and to serve God through them. The point I'm trying to make here is that we are the recipients of God's grace many times over. We are the recipients of God's generosity. We are the beneficiaries. Beneficiaries, you know what a beneficiary is, like in a life insurance policy. We're the ones who have received the blessings of other people's generosity. And we worship in buildings we did not build. Just like the Israelites would move into a land to fields that they did not plant and eat crops they did not grow, we worship in a building we did not build, because of other people's generosity. And our relationship with them is through the body of Christ and through the Spirit of God, and why we are here today, connected to them over the centuries, over the generations here at Bethel. We have been touched by God's extravagant generosity through others so that we can experience God's grace for ourselves. And the question is, how are we going to show our generosity and our appreciation so that future generations can continue to worship here, can continue to serve here, can continue to be saved, can continue to be servants and disciples of the Most High God? In what ways can you express your gratitude for all the blessings that you have experienced and been showered with here at Bethel? Let's begin with our relationships. You know, we're coming into a time of the year where we're all thankful for something. Thanksgiving's just a couple weeks away. Christmas can't be far behind. Let's start by saying, we love you, I love you, to our family members. Let's start showing our love in special ways to our church family. Let's start showing our love to God in special, meaningful ways, through our service, through our actions, through our giving here at Bethel Church. Now, most of you this week received in the mail a leather letter. This is the pledge campaign for 2012. Does this look familiar? Many of you who are members of our church, and some of you who are not members even, received the estimate of giving card. This is one way that you can show your generosity and love towards God and this church, by giving us your pledge for the coming year. As you saw in our presentation last week, 2 weeks ago, our church budget for 2012 is $520,000. We need, of course, to raise $520,000 to meet the budget for next year. Part of that process is receiving pledges on behalf of you, the people of Bethel Church. Unfortunately, traditionally, only 50 or 60% of our people pledge. And that's okay. We somehow manage. We somehow pay the bills. We somehow manage to keep things going. But our hope is that we could get 100% of our membership pledging. Now, please remember that a pledge is not a financial contract. It is simply a faith statement of faith that with God's help, you will do your best to give proportionally to the church in the coming year. And what Pat and I do is that we sit down each year and we say, okay, what's our estimated income? We look at it and we try to tithe. Some years we make the tithe and sometimes we don't. But we try to give based on how God leads us to give and give proportionally. The goal, of course, being tithing. And it explains on that card a little bit about tithing and what it means, and even gives you a little chart so you can work your way up to the tithe. If you want more information on the pledge, if you need to talk to somebody about it, give me a call this week. Give Gary Stabley a call, our financial secretary. Our financial chairperson. We'll be glad to sit down with you. If you're not sure what to do, please, please, please give us a call. All right. Now, next week, you're going to be asked another question. Next week's question is, what would you most like to see happen here at Bethel Church in the coming year? What hopes, dreams, and visions would you like to see come to fruition here at Bethel Church? I'm going to be sending an email out to that effect this week. I'd love to hear what you all, because in a couple of weeks, we're going to be visioning, dreaming, thinking about the future, and we need some input from you. What would you like to see in the coming year happen here at Bethel Church? And be brutally honest. Be brutally honest. If somebody says, let's get rid of the preacher. Okay, we'll deal with that. Let's get a new preacher. Okay, whatever it is, we'll take all suggestions. We'll take all hopes and dreams. That is our message for today. But the greatest message of all is, of course, that Jesus is here. Jesus has given us these symbols of his body and his blood to be shared with the community of faith as an expression of God's extravagant love. And we come here today to partake of that meal. But before we do, we need to confess our sins together as a church body, as a family, and then as individuals. And I would invite you to join me in this prayer of confession before you today.